very warm welcome to Paignton Baptist Church, whether listening online or reading the service. May the Lord bless each one of us as we seek God's face, listen to his word, and worship him. We know that our precious Lord is with us, and he will bless us. My name is David, and I'm one of the deacons here. Psalm 8 tells us, Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. You have set your glory in the heavens. Through the praise of children and infants, you have established a stronghold against your enemies, to silence the foe and the avenger. When I consider your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars which you have set in place, what is mankind that you are mindful of them, human beings that you care for them? You have made them a little lower than the angels and crowned them with glory and honour. You made them rulers over the works of your hands. You put everything under their feet, all flocks and herds and the animals of the wild, the birds in the sky and the fish in the sea, all that swim the paths of the seas. Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. Let us listen to or join in a modern meditation on this psalm.
Lord, how majestic you are. My eyes meet your gaze and my burden is lifted. Your word is a lamp to my feet. Your hand swift to bless and your banner a shield. You are my everything. You who made earth and sky and sea, all that you've placed inside of me, calls out your name. To you I bow, the King who commands my every breath, the man who has conquered sin and death, my Lord and my King, my everything. Lord, how resplendent you are. When I think of your heavens, the work of your fingers, what is man that you are mindful of him? Yet you've crowned him with glory and caused him to reign. You are my everything. You who made earth and sky and sea, all that you've placed inside of me, calls out your name. To you I bow, the King who commands my every breath, the man who has conquered sin and death, my Lord and my King, my everything.
Let us pray. Holy Lord, we worship you as the one who made earth and sky and sea. We worship you as the one who has conquered sin and death through your death on Calvary and your powerful resurrection. We worship you as the one who rules the earth and our individual lives. Thank you that we can trust you with our lives and the lives of others. Please help us this morning to hear your voice speaking to us and to respond to it in willing obedience.
The reading is taken from Matthew 28, verses 9 to 20. And it's found on page 1060 in the church Bibles. Suddenly, Jesus met them. "Greetings," he said. They came to him, clasped his feet, and worshipped him. Then Jesus said to them, "Do not be afraid. Go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee. There they will see me." While the women were on their way, some of the guards went into the city and reported to the chief priests everything that had happened. When the chief priests had met with the elders and devised a plan, they gave the soldiers a large sum of money, telling them, "You are to say, 'His disciples came during the night and stole him away while we were asleep.' If this report gets to the governor, we will satisfy him and keep you out of trouble." So the soldiers took the money and did as they were instructed. And this story has been widely circulated among the Jews to this very day. Then the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. Then Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always, to the very end of the age."
Before we come to ponder those wonderful words, let us listen and join in, if you wish, to this next song, which is a prayer. "Speak, O Lord, as we come to you to receive the word of your holy word."
Speak, O Lord, as we come to you to receive the food of your holy word. Take your truth, plant it deep in us, shape and fashion us in your likeness, that the light of Christ might be seen today in our acts of love and our deeds of faith. Speak, O Lord, and fulfill in us all your purposes for your glory. Teach us, Lord, full obedience, holy reverence, true humility. Test our thoughts and our attitudes in the radiance of your purity. Cause our faith to rise, cause our eyes to see your majestic love and authority. Words of power that can never fail, let their truth prevail over unbelief. Speak, O Lord, and renew our minds. Help us grasp the heights of your plans for us.
Truth's unchanged from the dawn of time that will echo down through eternity, and by grace we'll stand on your promises, and by faith we'll walk as you walk with us. Speak, O Lord, till your church is built and the earth is filled with your glory.
As we come to consider the wonderful promises and commands of our passage, let us first of all think about where do we look for hope and truth in these challenging days. Well, here are three places not to look. Firstly, hearsay, gossip, and the social media. Fake news is nothing new. Let's look at verse 12 and following. When the chief priests had met with the elders and devised a plan, they gave the soldiers a large sum of money, telling them, "You are to say his disciples came during the night and stole him away while we were asleep. If this report gets to the governor, we will satisfy him and keep you out of trouble." So the soldiers took the money and did as they were instructed. And this story has been widely circulated among the Jews to this very day. Lies are not new, and they're everywhere. And we need to be very careful what we listen to. I've recently had emails telling me that my TV license and then my car tax were wrong, and asked me for my bank details. I've had phone calls saying that I've been involved in an accident. Lies. Fake news. Let's not look for hope and truth in hearsay, gossip, or social media. Secondly, some fellow believers. The 11 disciples who were left after Judas betrayed the Lord Jesus didn't have a good track record. Peter had denied the Lord, and the other 10 had run away at the time of the Lord's arrest. I find that fellow Christians can often be a great encouragement, but they are not our ultimate source of hope and truth. Thirdly, our feelings. Even after the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, we read, "Some doubted." The phrase, "some doubted," could apply to any of us, and doubting God's word because of our feelings is not helpful. No, let us distrust our doubts and instead look for truth and hope in God's word. A verse I find helpful when I feel down is Psalm 43, verse 5. "Why, my soul, are you downcast? Why so disturbed within me? Put your hope in God, for I will yet praise him, my Saviour and my God." From today's passage, let's look for hope, truth, and indeed inspiration to the risen, victorious Jesus, who has assured us, "All authority in heaven and earth is given to me." In these words, the Lord is referring to a prophecy made about him in the book of Daniel, chapter 7, verse 14. "He was given authority, honour and royal power, so that the people of all nations, races and languages would serve him. His authority would last forever, and his kingdom would never end." In these days of great uncertainty, how good it is to remember that ultimate authority in heaven and earth has been given to the Lord Jesus, and whatever happens, whatever others may say or do, or however we feel, we can trust our loving, faithful and just Lord Jesus to bring his good purposes to fruition. As the Lord Jesus has assured his first disciples and us, he has all authority and power in heaven and earth. So what does he command us to do? In other words, what does the all-powerful Lord Jesus command us to do? Let's read verse 19. "Therefore go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you." The link with the total authority of the Lord Jesus is made very clear from the word therefore. Stop for a minute and think about Jesus' overwhelming victory. His victory over sin. His victory over Satan. His majestic authority over death. In the light of these tremendous truths, the apostles and we Christians are ordered to go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything Jesus has commanded us. We are commanded to make disciples, so what is a disciple? The Greek word means a learner and therefore a follower of Jesus. In New Testament times, a disciple entered into an agreement with a rabbi or teacher that he would live with him, learn from him, and imitate him in great detail. Perhaps the nearest thing we have in more modern times is apprenticeship, learning how to do a trade from an expert. We are here ordered to make disciples of the Lord Jesus. In other words, we are to teach and encourage by word and example people to be like Jesus in every way. And it's a big job. Who do we go to? We're ordered to go to all nations. This means everyone in the whole world, in every people group, whatever their present faith may be. We can go first to anyone we know, our neighbours, people we come across, our family, our friends. At the present time, we need to be socially distanced, but we can still phone, text, write, post on Facebook or email. Still, we are commanded to go. We need to be bold and to step out of our comfort zone. So how do we help people to become his disciples? There are two parts here. Firstly, baptize in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Spirit. And secondly, teach them to obey everything that I have commanded you. The first part is to preach the good news that the Lord Jesus has died on the cross to take the punishment for each person's sin. He personally carried our sins in his body on the cross so that we can be dead to sin and live for what is right. This involves us turning decisively away from all that God says is wrong, doing a U-turn if you like, and trusting that Jesus died for us personally so that we can be totally forgiven. We show this by being baptized in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit and joining a local church. The second part is to teach, patiently and carefully, how people can obey everything that Jesus has commanded us to do. As the Lord said in John 8, "If you keep on obeying what I have said, you truly are my disciples." This means that we teach people all Jesus has taught us and encourage and help them to become more like Jesus day by day. This is a long job and something we as a church need to do a lot more. It's something we do as we share our lives together and learn alongside each other. It includes teaching by word and personal example, how we live a life of prayer and worship, how we read the Bible, how we seek to be consistent, living day by day in the power of God's Holy Spirit, how we treat our spouse and children, or how we live the single life, how we show God's love and care to others, how we make decisions, how we give, how we regularly meet with others to worship, prayer, and listening to God's word, how we share our faith with those around, and much else besides. Above all else, it is vital that we ourselves and those we teach are consistent in obeying all that the Bible teaches. As Jesus said, "Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do what I say?" We can acknowledge Jesus as the head of our lives, but when it comes to important decisions, we can take over and do not submit to his will. This is not right. As true disciples, we need to obey the Lord Jesus' good and perfect will in every aspect of our lives, for only then can we prove his good and perfect will for our lives. So how could we befriend people and help them to become disciples? Here are some examples. Firstly, find someone who is a young Christian and help them to learn more. Take the teachings that you've heard me proclaim in the midst of many witnesses and entrust them to reliable people who will be able to teach others also. This spiritual principle is the basis of the work of the student organisation, the Navigators. They seek to find one or two reliable people who really want to learn God's ways. Firstly, listen to them, pray for them, and share their lives with them. Then teach them carefully, by word and example, how to live the Christian life, and encourage them to do the same for others. This is the principle of spiritual multiplication. Is this something you could do? Is this something you would like someone to help you with? If so, please contact Stephen or myself and we would be delighted to point you in the right direction. Remember, when you help others, expect them to help and challenge you. I remember many years ago chatting with a young man I had the privilege of leading to faith in Jesus a year earlier. I asked him, "Do you read the Bible?" To which he replied, "He studied his favourite selections of the Bible." When I questioned this, he answered, "Of course, I read the Bible through, from cover to cover, each year." That put me in my place. Secondly, as a parent, you can teach your children. Ephesians tells us, "Parents, do not treat your children in such a way as to make them angry. Instead, raise them with Christian discipline and instruction." If you are a parent, yours is the wonderful privilege of teaching and discipling your children in a wide variety of situations. Moses taught this with regards to teaching the truths of the Bible. Teach them to your children, talking about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road, when you lie down and when you get up. The Kitchen Table Project from Care for the Family is an excellent example of how to set about this. More details can be obtained online, or Stephen, Rowena and I have contact details. That's the Kitchen Table Project from Care for the Family. Thirdly, we can all be alert in helping others to understand the Bible. In Acts, we read of a man called Apollo. In Acts 18, we read these words, "Apollo had been instructed in the way of the Lord, and he spoke with great fervour and taught about Jesus accurately, though he only knew the baptism of John. He began to speak boldly in the synagogue. When Priscilla and Aquila heard him, they invited him to their home and explained to him the way of God more adequately." May we all be open to explaining the Bible to others who need help or who seem confused or unsure. I guess we all find the thought of making disciples rather daunting. However, we are not alone. And in this context, we read the following encouraging and inspiring words. Jesus said, "And surely I am with you always, to the very end of the age." As we obey the command to make disciples and teach them, we can be absolutely certain that the Lord Jesus will be with us by his Spirit, empowering us, guiding us, and protecting us. May the Lord give each one of us grace to live our lives by these words. Then Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always, to the very end of the age." Amen.
Thank you, David, for the word that you've brought to us. Let's pray. Jesus, I pray you created us that desire to follow you closely, to allow your Holy Spirit to make us more like you each day. Help us to be disciples that make disciples through the power of your Holy Spirit and to the glory of the Father. Amen. Ours is the great privilege of praying for others. There is an opportunity now for you to bring your prayers to our loving Lord. You might want to use the prompts in this week's Keeping in Touch to help you pray. You might also want to use the Lord's Prayer. Father, we thank you that you always hear us when we pray in the name of Jesus. As we bring our service to a close, let us sing together this wonderful song. Hear the call of the kingdom. Lift your eyes to the King. Let his song rise within you as a fragrant offering. By saying the grace together for one another. May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen.